ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, and we'll be reading texts 25 through 27. This is the beginning of a section where Uddhava is going to talk about Krishna. He's going to talk about Krishna's pastimes chronologically, first in Vrindavan, and then Mathura, and then Dwarka. What preceded this is Vidura. The conversation is with Vidura. So Vidura's been on pilgrimage. Going back, Vidura left the royal palace, being insulted by Duryodhan, and wishing to purify himself from that contaminating association of Duryodhana and company. So in the course of his pilgrimage, many things happened, but it concluded with his finding Uddhava in a forest near the river Jamuna and in the vicinity of Vrindavan. And he's very happy to see Uddhava in the forest in Vrindavan. And immediately when he sees Uddhava, he thinks of Krishna, because Uddhava is so intimately associated with Krishna. And he begins speaking, asking questions about Krishna, and Krishna and Balaram, and Ugrasena, and Vasudeva, and Devaki, and the Pandavas, and all the associates of Krishna. He asked just like one after the next, after the next, after the next, after the next. Even though he knows that they've already left the planet. At least the associates of Krishna have. He knows that. And so Uddhava's response is overwhelming. He's overwhelmed with grief and feelings of separation from Krishna. It's described that his thoughts become so concentrated upon Krishna that he's with Krishna in the spiritual world. But he wants to serve Krishna. He wants to serve Krishna by serving Krishna's devotees. In this case, it's Vidura. So he struggles to regain external consciousness so he can talk, because otherwise he's unable. And as he begins speaking about Krishna, so he exhibits this topmost platform of bhava bhakti, of total absorption in Krishna. And he begins, before he speaks about Krishna, he speaks about his feelings of separation from Krishna. In many wonderful ways. He demonstrates his transcendental insight into the nature of the apparent contradiction of Krishna, that is, he is unborn and yet he takes his birth. He's the most powerful and yet he appears afraid of Kamsa. He hides himself in Gokul out of fear of Kamsa. He comes before his mother and father when he returns to Mathura and with folded palms pleads with them to forgive him for not serving for so many years, 12 years, out of fear of Kamsa. And he finds these pastimes bewildering. And he says they're causing great pain. He uses that term in 6 different verses in 6 different words, indicating pain. It's not just, he's not a complacent bhakta. Whatever he does is very strongly felt, out of attachment for Krishna, deep attachment for Krishna. There's many nice things, so many nice things. To relieve his pain of separation, he thinks of Krishna internally, and the more he thinks of Krishna internally, the more he's feeling separation from Krishna. So the medicine is working the opposite. Medicine, just naturally, thinking of a person that you're feeling great attachment to and separation from brings you closer to that person, but it also intensifies the feeling of separation, at least in Uddhava's case. In Arjuna's case, it worked the opposite. In the first canto, by his remembrance of Krishna, by speaking to his brother, Yudhisthira, his pain of separation subsided. But here in this case, the opposite, Uddhava, by meditation upon Krishna and speaking about his feelings of love for Krishna and Krishna's nature and qualities and character and his form, his feelings are increasing. His feelings of separation. So, after all of that preparation, now comes, they're like little sutras. I was discussing this with Rabindra Swarup Prabhu over the weekend. In Krishna Lila Stava by Sanatan Goswami, it's very similar. It's 108 verses. It's published by the BBT. Gopi Pranadana translated. And it's expressions of Sanatan Goswami's ecstasy in remembrance of Krishna. And it's chronological. Same as here. It's from Krishna's appearance. But the unique feature of Sanatan Goswami's meditation is there are, just as we know from Bhagavad Gita, for example, there are different names that Sanjaya uses or Arjuna uses to address Krishna. And the name invokes a certain quality or relationship that Krishna has with someone or something. So according to the names of Krishna, there's 108 verses, each name invoking a particular little cameo shot of Krishna's pastimes progressing. the scene here is similar. I mean, it's progressive stages of Krishna's pastimes. But the situation that's just transpired is that Krishna has left, and Uddhava is feeling separation. He's not just like left the forest of Vrindavan, he withdrew his pastimes from this world. And he's conveying that to Uddhava, to Vidura. So he's feeling the pain of separation, Krishna's disappearance. And rather than speaking about Krishna's disappearance, he's going to speak about Krishna's appearance. All along, Prabhupada comments that the appearance of the Lord and the disappearance of the Lord, they're transcendentally the same. There's variety, but they're transcendental nonetheless. We can't say that about our appearance or our disappearance. But about Krishna's we can, and the same for his activities. The transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and activities are what's well known by transcendentalists. But he doesn't like to talk about his disappearance, so he's going to speak about his appearance. So the first three verses are Krishna appearing in the prison house of Kamsa, and then his being transferred, and then his childhood pastimes begin. And the scene is very beautiful, how it's described by Uddhava, what Vrindavan is like. So he starts, the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, being prayed to by Brahma to bring welfare to the earth, was begotten by Vasudeva in the womb of his wife Devaki in the prison of the king of Bhoja. In the purport, Prabhupada says that Vidura, essentially he's asked him to describe Krishna Katha by asking about the welfare of Krishna and his associates. He's milking the cow. He's asking for Krishna Katha. Because the incident that's most prominent in his heart is his disappearance pastime, Uddhava has begun speaking about that previously, but now he doesn't want to speak about that. It's too painful. So he's going to speak about Krishna's appearance. And Krishna does so simply to bring welfare to the world. And that's specifically mentioned in the verse. To bring welfare to the earth. To bring welfare to the earth because Mother Earth appealed to the demigods who went to Lord Brahma, who then appealed to the Supreme Lord, please appear on earth. So to bring welfare to the earth. And that welfare has these three. Pritranaya, Satunam, Vinashaya, Shaduskritam, mentioned in the purport. To, same as within our hearts, want to bring welfare into our lives. Well, things that are unwanted need to be removed, and things that are wanted need to be awakened, and we need to be guided by principles of Dharma. So, as in the within our hearts, within the world, or as within the world, so within our hearts. And the advent of Krishna is for that purpose, to bring welfare to the earth. The appearance of Krishna in our hearts is for the same purpose. During the train ride from New York to Lewistown, when the power went on my computer, then I had a bunch of time. And then when we were in Harrisburg, the announcement went on that they had to change the locomotive. The one car that pulls all the other cars wasn't working properly. So they had to get a second one and have two locomotives pulling the train. Anyway, so I had a lot of time. One of the things that I spent time with was planning the Gita Nagari retreat. And the theme of the Gita Nagari retreat is increasing the flow of Lord Chaitanya's mercy in the world. And completely fits with Krishna's appearance. In order to receive Krishna, impurities have to be relieved or eliminated. Our acharyas describe the six sons of Devaki that were killed one after the next by Kamsa. They represent kam, krodh, lobh, mohamada, matsarja. The six enemies of the conditioned soul, lust, anger, greed, so forth. So, to receive Krishna, our hearts need to be prepared. And to prepare our hearts, we're hearing Krishna katha. Helps us vidhunoti suritsatam, cleanse the heart. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. The heart becomes cleansed just by chanting and doing what we're doing right now, hearing Krishna katha from, how qualified can you get? Vidura and Uddhava, or Uddhava as the speaker, who heard directly from Krishna. Just now, we're studying Uddhava Gita in the 11th canto. He heard it. He received it. And now he's giving Krishna katha, and that's preparing the heart to receive Krishna and reestablishing what's proper within the heart. So Krishna appeared to bring welfare to the earth following the prayers of Lord Brahma. Prabhupada writes, the Lord has no business in this world, but when he is requested by devotees like Brahma, he descends for the welfare of the entire universe. Text 26, thereafter, his father, being afraid of Kamsa, brought him to the cow pastures of Maharaj Nanda, and there he lived for 11 years like a covered flame with his elder brother Baladev. Several things that in the purport is discussed. There are two main reasons indicated why Krishna was transferred from the prison house of Kamsa. One that's mentioned in the verse is that Vasudeva was afraid. So it was a measure, a plan, a strategy by Vasudeva to alleviate his fear that Kamsa might try to harm Krishna. Who can harm Krishna? Why any fear? Krishna appeared as Vasudev, four-armed Krishna carrying the symbols of Vishnu. who's going to harm Vishnu? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's the parental affection of Vasudeva. And Krishna is reciprocating with the parental affection of Vasudeva. The second reason is Nanda and Yasoda. They also had parental affection. Nanda was due to receive Krishna as his son, and yet Yashoda Mayi was also to enjoy the childhood pastimes of the Lord. So both reasons given are Krishna's wish or Krishna's plan to fulfill the desire of his devotees. One of the important names of Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. He simply gives pleasure to his devotees. The devotees simply want to give pleasure to Krishna. And the varieties of way that they express how they want to give pleasure to Krishna brings or invokes Krishna to the point where he does things to give pleasure to his devotees. So he appears in this world to answer the prayers of Lord Rama. He goes to from Mathura to Gokul to take care of the desire of Vasudeva and to take care of the desire of Nanda and Yashoda. But the other side is, it gives him great pleasure to do that. We're being introduced through Vidura speaking or Uddhava speaking to the science of rasa. The transcendental pleasure that the devotee receives from worshipping Krishna in a certain mood, and the transcendental pleasure that Krishna receives by being worshipped by his devotee in a particular mood. Prabhupada writes, Vasudeva's thought of protecting Krishna from the wrath of Kamsa is part of a transcendental relationship. Within transcendental relationships, like with Krishna, there are apparent contradictions. That's already been covered by Uddhava, and I summarized it briefly. He was unborn as born. That's a contradiction. He was the most powerful as afraid of someone. That's a contradiction. He who has no mother and father prays to his mother and father, please forgive me. I was afraid of Kamsa. I didn't serve you properly. Or it was with Balaram, so we didn't serve you properly. These are contradictions. But they're not, when one understands these are transcendental relationships. Krishna's acting within a transcendental relationship. He's reciprocating with the affection of his devotee. Prabhupada writes, the Lord enjoys more when someone takes him as his subordinate son who needs the protection of a father than he does when someone accepts him as the Supreme Lord. There's another contradiction. He's the father of everyone. And he protects everyone. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovedadati kaman. He's supplying the necessities of everyone. He doesn't need anyone's protection. But Vasudeva is feeling Krishna needs my protection. I'm his father. He who has no father has a father. And his father feels, I have to give protection to he who needs no protection. It's a loving relationship. And This gives transcendental joy to the Supreme Lord. He enjoys that more than one who worships him with awe and reverence. You are the Supreme Lord. Because it was such a prominent part of the previous section of verses, Prabhupada makes reference to it in the purport indirectly, that the pain that Uddhava was feeling can now receive some calming medical balm or ointment, and that is, Krishna is very pleased when these apparent contradictions are going on. It's Krishna's pleasure is increasing. Because otherwise, Krishna has no fear of Kamsa or anyone. But Vasudeva has a fear of Kamsa, and so he does something. Then text 27, Uddhava says, in his childhood, so he went from birth, transfer to Gokul, now it's childhood. The Almighty Lord was surrounded by cowherd boys and calves, and thus he traveled on the shore of the river Jamuna, through gardens densely covered with trees and filled with the vibrations of chirping birds. Listen to Prabhupada's description of Vrindavan in the purport. The forest on the shore of the Yamuna are all beautiful gardens filled with trees of mango, jackfruit, apples, guava, oranges, grapes, berries, palm fruit, and so many other plants and fragrant flowers. And because the forest was on the bank of the river Jamuna, naturally there were ducks, cranes, and peacocks on the branches of the trees. All these trees and birds and beasts were pious living entities born in the transcendental abode of Vrindavan just to give pleasure to the Lord and his eternal associates, the cowherd boys. A very pleasing scene. And then within this very pleasing scene, there's the mischief of Kamsa and Kamsa's henchmen. So Krishna, Kamsa sent various demons into Vrindavan. Find Krishna, kill Krishna. So Prabhupada writes, while playing like small children with his associates, the Lord killed many demons, including Agasura, Bakasura, Pralambasura, and Gardabhasura. Although he appeared at Vrindavan just as a small boy, he was actually like the covered flames of a fire. This is a metaphor that Vyasadeva uses several places in the Bhagavatam, a covered flames of a fire. What's that indicating? Covered flames of a fire. When you have a big roaring blazing fire and it kind of burns down, the flames aren't leaping into the air like the intensely burning fire, but they're covered by ashes, so it doesn't look like a really hot fire, but the same potency is there, and something comes in contact with that covered flames of a fire. can burn just as quickly. The metaphor is used here. It's also used when Putana came. When Putana came into the chamber where Krishna was lying in his little baby crib. The metaphor used to compare her was like a razor sharp sword inside of a sheath. So a very dangerous weapon, but covered by apparently, you know, some other material. But immediately the sword, when drawn, is very dangerous. And she was compared to that sword within a sheath, and Krishna was compared to covered flames of a fire. As she was being drawn towards the object, towards Krishna, she was bringing about her own destruction. Although the little form of Krishna looked very innocent. Because of her ill regard towards Krishna, she was finished. And similarly, the demons that came into Vrindavan, little boy, small child, but as a small particle of fire can kindle a great fire with fuel, so the Lord killed all these great demons, beginning from his babyhood in the house of Nanda Maharaj. So that metaphor is used in the verse. The land of Vrindavan is the Lord's childhood's playground. And it still remains today. And anyone who visits these places enjoys the same transcendental bliss, although the Lord is not physically visible to our imperfect eyes. The land of Vrindavan is transcendental. And like the covered flame, it may have the appearance of something ordinary, but the potency to spiritualize or transcendentalize our existence is fully there. Then he says that Lord Chaitanya taught in the same way, Krishna's holy dham, tad dhamma vrindavanam, that the Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his abode is Vrindavan. In the abode of the Lord and the Lord are none different. So he revered with great joy Vrindavan and taught like that his followers, he sent a number of his chief followers to Vrindavan to reside there and do their service. Because the land is identical with the Lord, devotees like Uddhava and Vidura visited these places 5,000 years ago in order to have direct contact with the Lord, visible or not visible. So this is relevant specifically to the appearance of Krishna and the disappearance of Krishna that just took place. He's describing the appearance and the disappearance of Krishna just took place, but the land of Krishna is not different, and that's where they are, both Vidura and Uddhava. So although they're talking about Krishna's disappearance and Krishna's appearance, they're doing so in the land of Vrindavan, where Krishna is always present. And the land of Vrindavan is as transcendental as Krishna's form, which both appeared and then disappeared. This is a transcendental science, and at the same time, it's a mystery how all this works. Because aside from the transcendental land of Vrindavan, one can consecrate a place or spiritualize a place to be none different than Vrindavan simply by speaking about Krishna. Because by speaking about Krishna, Krishna is present. And where Krishna is present, his holy Dham is present. So that place where Krishna's pastimes are heard and discussed amongst his devotees, that place is Vrindavan. Because Krishna is not going to appear any place other than his own abode. Krishna's abode becomes manifest when chanting his name, describing his glories, worshipping his form. Therefore, one of the seven purposes of ISKCON that Prabhupada established when he incorporated ISKCON in 1966 was to establish places of pastimes of Krishna. How can you do that? Unless Krishna appears. A pure devotee of Srila Prabhupada's caliber can make Krishna appear by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, by intense absorption in the processes of bhakti. Krishna is manifest. And just being in that place, one becomes purified. When Shukadeva Goswami was speaking all of this, speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, it was non-stop 7 days and seven nights. We have our little Srimad Bhagavatam reading for a half an hour or something each morning. And that's elevating. We don't have the patience and the capacity to hear like Maharaj Parikshit heard. But just that Shrinvatasva Kata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Just that little Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. To regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam has that effect. What to speak of if that participation in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, becomes expanded. The nityam isn't just daily, but it's incessant. It's nice as far as our capacity of Krishna consciousness permits to increase our chanting, to increase our hearing, to increase our reading, especially when there's Vaishnava holidays or appearance days of the Lord or Kadasis, those auspicious days, it's especially nice to try to increase our hearing and chanting towards that same goal, feeling the presence of Krishna, becoming qualified at least to feel the presence of Krishna as the Bhagavatam is intended to bring to us. Okay, so any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna, Hare. I was thinking over the past few days, how to constantly remain in the mood of being a servant of servant. Like as you said yesterday, material nature takes over. And how do we get reminded that we are a servant of servant, and how to let go of all our false ego?
How you get reminded? You hear from those who are reminding you. You're hearing from those who are reminding you, so you're getting reminded, so that you're thinking about it. And as you think about it, it becomes part of your life to contemplate. If you, in practical terms, direct your activities to the servants of the servants, then you are becoming the servant of the servants of the servants. That's how to. By practice, starting with Shravanam Kirtanam, and being circumspect about the principled association that you receive. Sangat sanjayate kama. You develop qualities like those with whom you associate. That's how to. Yes. Hare Krishna.
I have two questions. One was, the first thing is, like, you are talking about Krishna is having transcendental relationships with his devotees.
Mm.
So, because the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna, so if that transcendental relationship is there between the spiritual master and the disciple, what is the duties of the disciple to actually to be able to be qualified for that transcendental relationship?
Well, you made a big jump. You went from, I spoke about transcendental relationships with Krishna, and then the big jump was, and then there's transcendental relationships with the spiritual master and the disciple. By saying the jump was made possible that the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. And then there's transcendental relationships. So the process of bhakti is transcendental, because it's Krishna's internal potency expanded into the lives of the marginal potency, the living entity. And the medium for that is the spiritual master, extending devotional service, the realm of Krishna into the life of the devotee through the medium of devotional service. The transcendental relationship is with Krishna. And the via medium for that is the spiritual master. So that, you can say, spiritualizes the relationship with the spiritual master. So, I'm just restating the frame of your question, or the premise of your question, because I was meditating on that when I was hearing your question so much, so I didn't even hear your question properly. Can you restate the question now that it's framed differently?
Yes. So what would be the duties of a disciple to actually be qualified to?
The duties of a disciple to be qualified to do what?
To be able to get this transcendental relationship through the Maya medium.
Let's start with Sarva Dharmam Prityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja. That encompasses a lot of things. What does that surrender entail? Then you can take that surrender and break that down in Padma Purana, the six symptoms of surrender, and say, well, it's those six things. That's what surrender means. One who is surrendered unto Krishna is qualifying themselves for that transcendental relation. to surrender to Krishna, so start with the first two. You can't hold on to that which is inconsistent with devotional service and be surrendered. Pratikul yasya varjanam. One has to let go of, eliminate, discard, or allow the process of devotional service to sweep it away. Those things that are inconsistent with, or inimical to, or in opposition to devotional service. Again, I'm thinking about this. It was several hours of spending time in the train contemplating the Gita Nagari, the theme of the Gita Nagari retreat, because your question is another way of saying what the theme of the Gita Nagari retreat is going to be. How do we receive that descending flow of Lord Chaitanya's mercy? What do we need to do to qualify ourselves for that? One of the themes that is going to be presented, I just can touch on it. In Krishna Leela's language, she's going to do some workshops on placing truth above self, meaning conditioned self. Our conditioned conceptions of who we are interfere with that relationship with Krishna. We have conceptions of who we are, and we hold on to them. And we try to apply the process of devotional service while holding on to our conditioned conceptions of who we are. And it doesn't work well. It's not just a filter, it's the descending mercy is being blocked. Because we're holding on very tightly to a conditioned conception, an erroneous conception. So there must be some, to go back to your question, there must be some willingness to let go of all that stuff. And what do you put in its place if you let go of that stuff? Someone could be very fearful. If I don't have that stuff, then what do I have? That's me. What do I put in its place? What's pure? What's the standard of purity? So it's part of our task to enter into a loving relationship with Krishna again, to know who we really are. What's the truth of our real nature? And to embrace that. And let go of the other stuff. Generally, we're reluctant to do that, so the process is slow. Or you could say, gradual. But that's what has to happen. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. In order to surrender to Krishna, be in that consciousness or condition of being surrendered to Krishna. On our own, it's not going to happen. In association, definitely possible. So that's another thing. Maintain association very carefully, just like this prior question, the how-to question. Keep association of those who are the servant and the mood of the servant of the servant. Try to serve them. A short answer is follow the process of devotional service. Anything else?